may be seated.
We're going to pick it up.
Have some technical difficulties up here. Amen. Isn't that the kind of joy that we're supposed to have? That's how we should be, just happy there, getting together and enjoying their company. Amen. We're going to be turning back to 1 Peter. I asked Butch to read the law in Exodus 20 this morning because it's important. It all goes together, the law of God. It's important. And how do we obey that law? How are we holy? I believe Peter gives us some great insight into how we do that. Verse number 13 of 1 Peter chapter number 1 says, wherefore, we're going to explain once we get to it, is why the wherefore is therefore. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in Christ in these last times for you, amen, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, I'd like to put an emphasis on that faith and hope and glory might be in who? In God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word this morning. We're thankful for the ability that we have in Christ Jesus to do as you've commanded, to be holy as you are. We're thankful for the word. We're thankful for the nourishment that's in the word for us. That as further in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that we may desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow into salvation through it. And we are thankful for your work, for your sending Jesus up to go to the cross for us, to die for us, to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't often, I title things in order to put them on the web, in order for people to see them and everything, but I've entitled this morning, The Holiness Quest. And believe it or not, you might not realize that virtually everybody on the earth is in a quest of some sort of holiness. Amen. Everybody. From the most vile of sinners to who seemingly maybe exceptional saints, they are on a quest to find holiness. Or some might say they are on their own individual journey to find God. The only problem is they're often not always finding the right God, right, which we saw in the law. There are no other gods. To love the Lord is only one God. Anything else is not God, but the God that's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Anything else is false. So as we look here, and I'll just summarize from last week, it says wherefore. The wherefore is therefore from everything written from verse 1 to that point. So we have a command to gird up our loins. And I know I covered this last week, which is basically, let's put it in perspective here, let's fasten our seatbelts. Let's hold on tight. Let's look now to get busy and get prepared for the things that are going to be coming about us. And girding up the loins of your mind, as we see in the scriptures, the gird is to put our belt on, our robe, so we can get moving. So that's what all that is in the basis of God's election of Jesus Christ in verse number 1, his election of us in Christ, his holiness, his salvation, everything about him. Now that you know these things, that you were redeemed by the blood of Christ, which, by the way, it's a bookend here. The beginning of the chapter ends with salvation in the blood of Christ and through the word, and it ends with the same thing. I think Peter is trying to tell us something. It's not about us. It's about him and what he's done. So we take action. Our minds are now prepared to take action upon the things that we've learned. So wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, which means just to be attentive, be clear-minded towards the things of God and not of the world. We're to watch in spirit, keeping ourselves alert to the things which are in the scriptures, which are from God, instead of the world and the flesh. That's important as we go to 1 John for a second. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 12 we'll start with. I was going to start with verse 14 or 15. It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I run unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Notice they've overcome the wicked one. John would later write in the book of Revelation, those that have overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb. This is where how we overcome. Do you believe it or not? If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you have faith in Christ, you have overcome the world already in position. But what happens now, we once were. I remember reading from Dr. Tommy Ice in a book on spiritual warfare that he put out. It was interesting. Before we were saved, the prince of the power of the air has one transmission. Think of it as a radio receiver. Anybody ever listen to WBZ to get the news? We listen to WBZ because it's a clear channel station. It's only one of 10 radio stations in the whole country that you can hear in the whole country. The FCC has authorized it, clear channel. Before we were Christians, before we trusted Christ, we were on a clear channel station that the enemy, that Satan, was in control of. And he broadcast that throughout the world. But now, that was radio station WORLD. Kind of reminds of an old 70s song. We'll show your age here. I heard the morning DJ on WORLD. WORLD. That's the broadcast. That's the influence that all of us had. We didn't have any other influences besides the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those primary bad influences we have are our flesh and the world, because our flesh answers to the other ones. The old expression that's used in computer terminology and program, garbage in, garbage out. So we were attuned to one channel. We didn't know anybody. We were in our ignorance. You know, in verse number 13 we saw, we were in the lusts of the world because we were ignorant to the things of God. But then something happened. That something as a someone. Jesus Christ and his testimony of salvation came We believed, and now we're tuned into another frequency. That frequency we're tuned into is a frequency that's found only in here.
Right. Amen.
This is the most clear channel station you can have, because in it is the testimony of Christ Jesus and what he's done. So you really didn't have a choice to be godly or ungodly when we were in the world. We were overrun, overcome by sin, overcome by ourselves. Let's continue here in 1 John 2. Ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The only way is what shared last week. The only way to overcome the wicked one is through the blood of the Lamb and the truth of his word. That's how we overcome. Verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. W-O-R-L-D-D-D. It's of the world. Everything that is not in here, in our Bible, is of the world, and it caters to the flesh. Oh, how we love to have our flesh pampered and catered. We love to hear about good things about ourselves, don't you? We all do, right? We always love, good job you did today. I love at work to hear it. Well, thanks for the effort that you gave. We love to hear about how good we are. But there was something that happened. Something called the law of God. Let's go back to our text in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. My voice has been shot all week, by the way, and it's starting to come back now. So be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our hope is not affixed on us now. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is that we'll be with Christ at the revelation of him. We'll see him as he is. We will be changed. That's our hope. As we all look in the mirror at ourselves, we should be saying, man, there's no hope in that. But when we look in the mirror of God's word, we see the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And his work that's in us. Then as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. Remember those former lusts? We had no clue. We were ignorant of those former lusts. We desired to be rich. We desired to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, but those things are not from God. So we say the problem, and I'll get to the tables of the law in a second, the problem with most of the church, it's focused on me, not on God. It's focused on how we can achieve our best life now. I say that a lot, but it's so prominent. It's focused on how God desires you to get all that you can get in this or on this earth, and doesn't focus on salvation. It bypasses the cross for human satisfaction. As obedient children, I always chuckle when I see that, and as we've all of us that have children, we love it when our children are obedient. We love it when they're obedient. The problem we have, and if anybody's ever used these words, so when you tell a child to do something, you say, well, I'll use Brianna or somebody. Brianna, go and feed the dog. And she says, why? us as parents tend to say, well, because we told you so. I told you this so do it. But amazingly, God is not like that. God doesn't just tell you to obey him just for the sake of obeying, even though he could. He always gives us a reason why he gives us commands. And that's right here. The testimony of him is why we can be obedient to him. Why should you be obedient? Because I am the one that gives you eternal life. Truly, Father knows best. He knows what we want, but if we focus on those commands, we're never going to achieve that holiness. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior. Conversation there is actually the old English for behavior. Your behavior, because of God's holiness, because of God's salvation, because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, your behavior will now reflect him and not us. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a command. Be holy. All right, now go ahead. Be holy. Go out and do it. Say, I can't. I can't do it. I can't be holy. Well, you're honest when you say that instead of trying to be holy without the holiness of God. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus. It's exactly right where Peter is taking this from. Leviticus chapter 11. I'm sure this is a reference that's found in most of your side column references. Leviticus chapter 11. Again, this is Leviticus 11 and Leviticus 19 are all areas where the law is expanded upon. Let's start with let's just go right to verse 44, which is the reference. For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's what the context around is about idolatry and having other gods before him. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So we now, once God's people look at God's holiness and they know they can make a difference. As Christians, we are faced with choices. Choices, choices, choices. There are some that say we can't have any choices because God just ingrains things in us. And we can be holy in this life. That's the Methodist belief. Is that you can be holy and sin-free in this life. I would say, no, we cannot be. We are always going to have sin because of the Adamic nature that's in us. But however, that sin doesn't have to have dominion over you. We don't have to be driven by sin any longer because of the holiness of God and what he's done at the cross for us. Now, I just jotted down the shortcut version of the Ten Commandments. And there's two tables of the law. We like to call the tables of the law. The first one, the first four commandments, some people have it the first three commandments, our table one, and then the second, verse number 5 through 10 of the commandments, this is why I had Butch read these, are the second table. Now, those of you who have been alive for any number of years can realize that we spend all of our lives in the second table of the command of the commandments. Right from a young age, people know these things. They know to honor father and mother. Not everybody obeys that, but they know it's a law. It's been ingrained, because Romans chapter 2 tells us that the law of God is upon everyone's hearts. So honor your father and mother. The only command with the promise that the days would be well with you. Honor. And inherently, people who aren't even Christians honor their father and mother. Dare I say, even the worst of sinners, the worst person you can think of, if anything happens with their mother or father, right away they are there to defend and protect. Amen. There's exceptions, of course, because that's how wicked mankind is. You shall not murder. Of course, that's the proper translation, is not you shall not kill, because vegetarians out there say, look, you've killed an animal, you've broken God's law. It deals with murdering somebody else. We know, all of us know that murder is against God's law. You never had to go to a church to learn that either, because it's been written on the heart of man. But what about that heart of man? Jeremiah tells us the heart is desperately wicked and has these laws. You shall not commit adultery. As much as that goes on in the world today and how society has been degraded, everybody knows that it's wrong. Look what I'm getting away with. That's the attitude of the world. You shall not steal. Even the worst of pagans know that robbing somebody is wrong. You shall not lie. Even though that one, more and more people get away with lying all the time. So that's evidence to know that those commandments can't save. Let Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. We all lie, no matter what it is. We all steal. If you hear on Wednesdays, a lot of times I come to church right after work, and on my wrist is sometimes elastic bands from work. Simple little elastic bands, but literally I stole those. I didn't mean to, but I did. It's part of life. I stole those. I steal all the time. Guilty, guilty, guilty. When we look at that law.
Candy box.
Yeah.
Steal them.
And you shall not covet. That's the most dangerous of the second table. Because we all desire something else that somebody has. All of us aren't exempted from that. Boy, I wish I could have. Boy, I wish I could have that new car that Joe has. Or I wish I could have that. Boy, you know, that's not fair. I'm driving down a broken down, beaten up car. Lord, how come I don't have a new Mercedes? That's coveting. All of that, the second table of the law. We're all accustomed to that. I'm going to go back to the first table in a couple minutes here. Let's go, as I mentioned, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter number 2. Let's go to Romans 1 for a second to avoid. You really need Romans 1, 2, and 3 all together in context to get the scope of sin. But Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's skip down to verse number 18 through 23. This is dealing with the world and creation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Right? So all of the world knows the truth, knows the law. But what does this mean, but holding the truth in unrighteousness? Well, it can be better interpreted as they suppress the truth. See, all of man, as we see in Romans chapter 2, all of man has the law of God in their heart. They know, man knows right from wrong. That's what chapter 2 talks about. Even the Gentiles who have not the law know what sin is. But they suppress it. I don't want to hear that. We suppress that other things as well. When we get bad news about ourselves or about somebody else, we say, no, 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 it's not happening. We're delusional. That's how the word is. The world is. They're delusional because they're listening to WORLD and not the law of God. And because they suppress that truth, they look for all other ways of unholiness and holiness and unholiness. That's why the alcoholic drinks alcohol, is because he's suppressing the truth, suppressing the law and seeking to make a law unto themselves. The law screams, doesn't literally scream at you, but the law inside a person literally tells you, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're breaking the law of God, and we say, shut up! And we use every method that we can to quell that law. We use drugs, alcohol, we use any sin at all in order to drown out that law in our hearts. Sometimes the most dangerous thing we try to get our own holiness is we will go to all sorts of religious things. So in reality, religious liberalism, religious conservatism, and sin, they all come together in one place, and that's trying to have your own righteousness instead of the righteousness of Christ. That's why we have a rise of mysticism going on. You know, we experienced going to a Roman Catholic funeral, the smells, the pageantry. You know what it does? It feels good. It quenches or quenches the law of God in a person's heart. The pageantry, the glory, the feeling. That's why people go to that. People go to different religious type of things because it feels good. It suppresses that law that's inside. A tragedy. I just learned about a Southern Baptist pastor. He's out in Independence, Missouri. And if you know anything about some cults around, we know that Independence, Missouri is where the Mormon church believes that the New Jerusalem will be built. Independence, Missouri. I read of a Southern Baptist pastor who is now combining the Book of Mormon and the Bible together and bringing his, what he says, Reformation saints, those would be Bible believers, and Restoration saints together. Now the Restoration movement, the reason why it's dangerous, there are a lot of people in the Restoration movement because they're restoring apostles and prophets today. It's very dangerous. How is the Word of God speaking today to you? By sitting and waiting for an experience or an utterance from God, and thereby new prophecy comes out. Let's go for a second. I wasn't going to go here. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Just while we're in the... while we're thinking about false prophets. Daniel chapter number 9. Again, I'm not going to try to go through all of Daniel chapter 9, but the beginning of the chapter is dealing with the sin, with the judgment of Israel, and going and its captivity. But there's an interesting passage, a prophetical passage, at the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 9. Let's go to verse number 20. It says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. Notice Daniel wasn't praying about himself. He was praying about the sin of his people, Israel, that God would restore them and not judge them. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and said, and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I come
to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision.
Remember, God always declares what he's going to do to his prophets, of which there are none today.
Verse number 24, I think we all know this prophecy here. 70 weeks are determined on the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
Now, if we look in, back in time, no detail here right now, but 69 weeks of the 70 weeks were accomplished already up until the coming of Jesus, and Jesus will appear in that 70th week. There's been a giant comma or parentheses put between the first coming and second coming of Jesus.
Now, right here it says, and he says, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. So all prophecy from the early church on, from the apostles until when Jesus comes again, is sealed.
Yes.
There is no prophecy. If anybody's telling us they've had a prophetic vision for someone's life, they are liars. They're cheaters. God has sealed it up.
You know, we have, Peter said, in 2 Peter, he said, we were with him in the mount.
I experienced, I saw Jesus, I saw Moses, I saw Elijah.
And yet it was Jesus alone, but we have a more sure word of prophecy which would be good for you to obey. The written word of God. And even, he said, even Paul, whose writings are sometimes hard to be understood, you listen to him.
Amen.
So anybody that's trying to pass off any new prophecy today, or go by any feelings, or what you can do, is a liar. That's not very popular, because that's the kind of places where people are flocking to today. They're looking like those Epicureans at Mars Hill. They're discussing what new things there are. It's all about the Word of God.
Let's go back to our text. Back, were we in Romans or were we in 1 Peter?
Bring us Romans, but you haven't got there yet.
I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah, back to Romans chapter 1. Yeah, I was there. I finished it in Romans 1.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was going to go to Romans 2 for a second. So we'll go to Romans chapter number 2. Let's go to verse number 12, and we're going to go backwards to 11. So keep your finger here too. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. That's the Gentiles that don't have the commandments that were given to Israel. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. I'm going to tell you how you're a doer of the law when we get over to the first table of the law. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. They follow that second table. Verse number 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Oh, look how good you are. Look how bad he is. Comparing with each other. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God knows the secrets of our hearts. God himself knows whether we have believed upon him or whether we don't. Non-Christians can appear righteous. We know a lot of real good we think is good. Well, that person's not a believer, but how come he's so good? second table of the law. It's written. It's written on their hearts. That's why from the beginning we tell kids, don't beat up your brother. Don't beat up your sister. Don't do that. Leave. Don't pull her hair. That's all second table of the law. Let's go. Keep your finger here in Romans chapter 2. Let's go back to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter, keep your finger in chapter Romans 2 for a second. That all is? It's quarter past? Wow. It's flying. Verse number 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning, or your traveling, or I'm drawing a blank. Your time here in fear. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judging according to every man's work. Back in Romans chapter 2 again. Let's go to verse 1. Therefore, thou art excusable, O man, whosoever thou that judgest, for therein thou judgest another, thou contemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Whether it's somebody that claims to be a Christian, they're focused on the second table of the law, or a non-believer, they're doing the same thing. They're lying. They got elastics on their wrists, just like me. They do all those same things. So who are they to judge? But we are sure, verse 2, that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In other words, the truth of God tells me I am a sinner because I stole those elastics. You know what I deserve for that sin? Death. See, I mean, God says don't. Civil law says, puts God's law up there to judge rightfully that murderers get murdered. People who stole give retribution. That's where we go with the rest of the 613 commandments of God. God gives the different laws for society, but the moral law is binding upon each and every person. So I deserve to die for stealing those elastics according to God's moral law. I've broken that. I admit it, Lord, I'm sorry. No, but that's the truth. What verse was I here? Yeah, in chapter. Oh, here we go. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Think of Jesus teaching about those that have to point out a speck in somebody else's eye, but yet in their own eye. They have a plank. That's what he's talking about. You're under the same judgment. The person with the speck, the person with the plank, God is no respecter of persons. You're under the same equal judgment, so don't judge about those things. Or despise this, verses number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, now we're starting to turn over to the first table of the law. All wrapped up in the goodness of God. So what you could tell people who you think aren't Christians, you could tell them, well, look, the goodness of God is this, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him will not perish but have everlasting life. Talk about goodness. It doesn't get any gooder than that. I know that's not good English, but it's not any better than that. Christ fulfilling, dying for your sins on the cross. Amen. Yes, the church needs this message. It's not just for those outside. It's for us. It's for me. I'll learn not to steal elastics. I keep going back to that. But that's how God views us. We are all unholy in his sight because he is holy. But after thy hardness, verse number 5 of Romans 2, but after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, keep holding down the truth of God. The truth of God. You're bringing up wrath unto yourself. No matter what you think about God, His wrath is there. If you think you're good, you're not good. He alone is good. He alone is righteous. Verse number 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. We are all guilty of disobeying the law of God. And if God hadn't sent His Son Jesus Christ, we would all stand in condemnation. It's the message of John chapter 3. All under condemnation because we have broken a holy and immortal God's will. Because He alone is pure. He alone cannot even look at impurity. That's why He brings judgment. You say, boy, what a mean God. No, we don't have a mean God. We have a loving God.
Amen.
We have a loving God because in spite of His holiness, He sent Jesus, who became like us, to die in our place. That is love. That is our way to get back to the first table of the law. Let me finish up here. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. In other words, the forgiveness of God and the reward of believers is that we will bear fruit. We will do the second table of the law. We will love our neighbors. We will do good to those who are without, or do good to all men, especially they of the household of God. Those will be fruits. Those are the things that we desire. We desire holiness, and we desire to do good works because of what God has done through Christ for us. Verse number 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Back to the suppression of the truth of God, the law welling up. Say, nah, I am not going to obey the law. I am not going to trust Christ, so the wrath of God is upon him. That's hard, but it's true. It's holy and it's also loving from God. But tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Tribulation, oh, I just read that. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with the Lord. The only way we can do good is by the obedience to Jesus Christ in obeying the gospel of Christ. Let's go back to our text in 1 Peter. And if you call on the Father, call, or you can invoke the Father, call out to him who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Fear here is a holy reverence and a fear of God. That's how we ought to look at that.
Yes.
Revere him for what he's done. Now let's look over here at the first table of law. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. There are no other gods. There is only one God. Isaiah chapter 45. There's only one God. Any other way, any other God that we try to make in our hearts and minds is not the real God. You shall have no idols. Don't make any carved thing, paintings, nothing of what we think is God. If you think people have gone to heaven and came back, they haven't. They've made an idol in their minds, as much righteous and holy as people think. the worst one, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. We often think that taking the Lord and the name of the Lord God in vain is, you know, when we stop using the name Jesus as a cuss word.
Right.
Or using the name God as a cuss word.
Right.
But it goes much deeper than that. Taking the name of the Lord your God in vain is using God to be your sock puppet.
Right.
What do you want today, Bob? Well, you know, I'd love to have a better. I'd like to have some health. Well, let's see what I can do. That's taking the Lord your God in vain. Using Him, putting yourself above Him. We all tend to do it too. Then keep holy the Sabbath day. That's interesting because we are not, this is not the Sabbath day today. To the Jews, Saturday was the Sabbath day, the seventh day.
Right.
And people who try to follow the Sabbath day today fall short. They're relying on their own works. Because
right.
The seventh day, you were not to be doing anything at all on that day. If we're here, it's been a cold winter. If we were Sabbath keepers here in New England, we wouldn't be allowed to touch our thermostat. That's how the Sabbath law works. I know people that go to Sabbath churches, and I tell them, where are you going? So we're going to church. I said, why are you doing that? He says, we meet on the Sabbath day. We're Sabbatarians, Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah.
I say, well, you're just breaking the Sabbath by leaving your house. God's law is made to be followed perfectly. There's no shortcuts in following God's law. So if we try to follow these laws, we will fall short. Oh, how can we do that? How can we be holy? For He is holy. Guess what? His Son Jesus Christ is God. His Son Jesus Christ is holy, is pure. If we have our faith upon Him, guess what that makes us? It makes us holy. We are sanctified through the truth. Jesus, in praying the Lord's Prayer in John 17, said to His Father, Father, sanctify them in Thy truth. His word is truth. Guess what we have for that? He gave us His word. Have you ever believed somebody is, well, you can trust me because I've given you my word. And some people we look at as their words are good. We know, yep, Butch gave me his word on something. And so we know that he's going to do it. But most people, they don't. But God has given us His word, His everlasting word, that He is the truth. Now let's finish up here back in 1 Peter, verse number 18 through 21, which basically is repeating verse number 12. It says, for as much as ye know, as much as ye know, get this in your mind, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. We weren't redeemed with other idols. We weren't redeemed with anything that could be bought, stolen, or that it will fade away. But we were redeemed with as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. See, people in the Old Testament believe their redemption came from offering up a sacrifice. Those sacrifices were only a picture. The book of Colossians says those were a shadow, but Jesus Christ is the substance. We're not redeemed by what we can offer up that perishes year after year. We're not redeemed. I'll send it out in the email, but I did comment on it. I couldn't help it. But there was a craze going through a lot of the church, and this craze was called the tithe rap. I'll send the link out. It's interesting. It went through a lot of the new friendly churches, but they're all legalistic. And it was the tithe rep, and each case of it, it was the same thing, where three guys were talking about the finances of the church, accountants. And the pastor said, boy, you know, we really shouldn't talk about that. Then they come up with a rap song about tithing. God gave 100, you give 10. Woo, woo. And if you ever seen rap artists, it kind of makes people look bad. It makes real rap artists look good, actually. It's just a mockery of God. But this is the kind of thing. Look, you can be holy by how much you give. Well, your money perishes. Your money perishes. Everything that you can do and that you are will perish. But the blood of Christ,
Amen.
One of the most volatile substances in the earth is blood. But the blood of Christ is pure.
Right.
He redeems through his blood. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we go to the bookend with verse number 1. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus is made known for us. He is the solution. He is the real deal. And if we put faith in him, that is where our holiness stems from, not anything else. He is the answer for the longing that's the law written on heart, on your heart. He's the only one that fulfilled that. And we have faith in him. Who by him, verse number 21, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and that gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our faith and hope is in the God who wrote and fulfilled the law. It's not in what we do, but what we believe will. Let me say that again. It's not in what we do, but our faith in the one who did it, which drives us to be more holy. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. The closing of the closing. Proverbs chapter 3. I know most of us go right to verse number 5 in Proverbs 3. Let's look at verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. See, there's the key right there. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Amen. You see where we're going? It's because of mercy and truth that we can write mercy and truth on our heart. Now, we really can't. That would be kind of painful. But the metaphor there is, if we remember the mercy and truth of Christ and what he's done, then we are equipped to be holy and obey him. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even a father, the son in whom he delighteth. minute. I'll end right there. But the Lord, think of the old doxology, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. That happens in light of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus. And that's our only plea. The only plea we have is to just simply trust. Believe the good news. Christian, non-Christian alike, it gets down to this. God loves you. He gave his son for you. That's our focus. Believe that with all your heart, and God will iron everything else. You won't have to worry about keeping the law. You'll bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5. The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 14. You will have fruit based on faith. And that faith is only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Again, I'd love to tell the story. And I'd love to talk about telling the story too. So if anybody ever wants to discuss the things, how it really is. I think it was Helen told me, says, really, when you start looking around you, you realize how narrow you must be. Yes, narrow is the way that leads to life. But the reality that in that narrowness, God is so broad-minded in that all have access to Christ. All have access to the gospel. God will not hold anyone back. But only because of this wicked heart drowning out God's call. He desires all to be saved and come to repentance. Amen.